The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It's Sunday, it's hot, and the sun is shining. That must be global warming. It's hot.
And there's fires.
And
fires prove that there's global warming.
Yes,
because fires are hot.
That has nothing to do with poor forest management.
No.
Cutting out the dead wood and such. So, good morning. Another sunny, cheerful day at We the People Radio. You are joining Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. We are here for 2 hours. We're going to talk about everything under the umbrella of fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. And we do want to hear from you. Jump in and give us a call at 605-4567. If you're out of the area, that area code is 530. We're chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. On our webpage, you will find out everything about today's guests. And we have another action-packed show today.
Bob?
Don't we?
Tell us something we don't know.
Good morning, ladies.
Hello.
We have Assemblyman Jim Nielsen in the first hour scheduled to call in to talk about events in California.
Oh, boy.
Good news. Of your legislator is called events.
Good news.
To the rest of the nation, they're known as events.
Sad.
Catastrophic. And our second hour.
Including the bullet train. That's a catastrophic event.
Dear.
And then we all remember acorn, right?
That's right.
Acorn. That's not just a nut. That is
kind of an acronym.
An acronym for an interesting umbrella under the...
What is acorn again? It ends with now.
Americans...
Don't ask us questions like this early in the morning.
Community organizing of some sort.
I've gone blank.
But you know, they were exposed and just... They imploded.
Exactly.
They
What's acorn
defunded.
Mean again?
We don't know, but we'll find out.
The point is, we have the guy who exposed them.
We're going to have James O'Keefe coming on in the second hour, and James O'Keefe became very well known for going undercover and exposing Acorn, posing as a pimp, and having his friend Heather, who posed as a prostitute, and they went in and uncovered some pretty nasty stuff about Acorn, and he has not stopped. I think he is probably will go down in history as one of the most well-known infiltrators and expose artists.
Well, because a lot of times, you know, you hear all these different things. Like, you know, with Acorn, we knew they were doing all this community organizing, and they were out there registering people that legitimately either couldn't vote or already had voted, and they were, you know, all these things. And so when they went in there, they asked him, well, you know, we want to basically break this law, that law, and the other law. And they're like, well, let us show you how to get around it.
There you go. So that's
nothing like having that on tape.
Going to be an awesome show. And everything about both of our guests, like I said, will be on our webpage at wethepeopleradio.us. Hey, wanted to do a quick little segue. There's a lot of stuff in the news lately about people who own businesses, who start businesses, who become successful, and there's an attempt to divide from the entrepreneurial spirit and those who choose not to. And so we've got our current administration that is encouraging people to accept the concept that you did not become successful on your own. Forget the fact that you're smart and you worked hard and you made sacrifices. You did not do it. Well, you know, as we go about our daily business, we find out about companies and organizations that either repel that theory or they jump on board with it. And, of course, Aaron, you and I know that Costco jumped right on board with President Obama's theory that if you started your own business and were successful, it had nothing to do with you. Costco came out and made an official statement, the owner or the founder of Costco, that they completely agree with that theory. Well, I was driving around over the weekend, and I heard this commercial come on locally, and it was from Orchard Hardware. And Orchard Hardware said, please come in this weekend. At Orchard Hardware this weekend, we will pay the sales tax. Yes, come in to Orchard Hardware this weekend. Shop like a billionaire. And pay no tax.
Shop like a billionaire and pay no tax.
Shop like a billionaire and pay no tax.
You know, they should have, there should be some requirement that they have like a hater alert on there. Like at the beginning of this show, it says that the, you know, views and opinions are, you know, maybe don't coincide with anyone else in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, far be it for me, far be it for me to tell anybody where to do business, because I won't do that. But I can tell you where I'm not going to.
Or how to do their business.
Or how to do their business. So, of course, I'm going to have to wander over to our local Orchard Hardware and have a little chat with the manager.
Have a little cow.
Yeah, have a little chat with the manager. I'm going to have to do that because, you know that they have manager meetings and the consumer temperature out there gets reported, so... Well, we'll have to do that. But Papa John's Pizza and Miracle-Gro, two great companies.
Really?
Just want to tell you that.
And you can get them at Orchard, but you can't go there now. Yeah. So how the heck are we going to get the Miracle-Gro?
You can buy that anywhere. So, anyway, that was my that's Elizabeth's pet peeve for the week. You know I always have one. Right?
Here we go. Okay. Dun, 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 dun.
What does ACORN stand for?
See, this is the thing. Last week, you know, I had sort of a sore wrist. And so my chiropractor said,
that's a good one.
You should stop using your mouse with your right hand all the time. You should switch it to your left hand. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not left-handed. And so, okay, I did it. And it was really spazzy. But, okay, so then I was gone for... So I'm turning on my computer here, and I'm trying to look up ACORN, right? How long could that possibly take?
Yeah, you've been doing this for a while.
And I totally can't believe
that. What are you doing over there? How come I'm doing all the talking?
Hey, I'm clicking the buttons and nothing's working. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to be using it with my left hand. So the buttons are switched and I can't make anything go. All right. So I have now beaten the odds here. Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now.
Ah, there you go.
Holy cow.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
You know, James O'Keefe did such a good job of wiping them out of the media that we kind of forgot what they stood for.
Exactly.
Thank you, James.
He the video he did recently, though, if anybody wants to look it up, was Earth Supply and Renewal. He invented this. I'm going to use the term loosely. He started a company called Earth Supply and Renewal by just giving it a name.
Well, is there a road leading to it?
Well, it depends on...
Because if there is, he didn't do it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and this... So he went to some union guys, like, you know, some... kind of thuggish ones. And did you see the video? Have you seen
video?
Yeah.
I did. It's good.
And so he goes in there. He goes in there and he says, well, I have this company, Earth Supply and Renewal, and we dig holes and then we fill them back up again. And that's all we do.
And that's our shovel ready job.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay, we can find you money for that. It's like, oh my gosh. So anyway, got that. That got that on video.
The thing that I find really hilarious is that these people keep falling for it. You know, you'd think by now they'd be on to him.
Exactly.
And they just keep falling.
Well,
it's just hilarious.
We just did like a gigantic loop of northeastern California. And, you know, every single place. Let's see, we were in Yreka, Doris, Tule Lake, outside of Canby and Alturas there, over to Susanville, Quincy. And then after that, it was too late. Didn't talk to any people after that. But in that entire loop, every single person brought up the Parks Department and the, you know, the missing or the hidden money, the $54 million that was just accidentally hidden.
Yeah. Easy to do, you know.
A lot of our agencies, you know, the new Cal Wild was one of the top contenders.
How about the fire fee?
Fire tax was a biggie. And
tax.
Just... And you know, it was interesting because every single person was like, they asked the same thing. I don't get it. How do these guys not get it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they see?
So, yeah, what they're doing?
People are pretty blown away by a lot of this.
Which proves our point that it is happening because that many people wouldn't be affected or aware if it wasn't happening.
No, and like the fair, we were at the Quincy Fair last night around, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Blew in there, saw the fair manager. And he's a semi-volunteer. I mean, you know, if people think they're getting rich on fairs, you're dreaming. But they need $160,000 to operate the fair there up out of Quincy. And he said that they can only come up with like, I don't know, I think the budget said 90. So they all took, he goes, I spent 30 years in private business. So when I came here to manage the fair, I did it like private business. And the county said, you know, we're broke. and so we need your help. Go back and cut your budget. He goes, I cut everything. We took, he goes, I took a 50% pay cut. All the other, you know, like the two other people that work there, there's only three of them. They took, I don't know, 10, 20%, something like that. And then they went back and he said, I watched a lot of these other governmental agencies in the county. They came back after they had done deep cuts. And he goes, I knew they didn't do it because I saw what they were doing. He goes, yeah. Then the county said, you guys all have to go back and cut again. But I'd already done it all the first time. And everybody else was like, okay, we'll go back and cut some more. He goes, I'm an idiot. I didn't know. Like, I didn't know the game. He goes, I went and did it like real business.
Wow.
But when he, you know, he sat there and did the...
He should have saved some more to cut for the next round. Is that what you
That was know? The whole thing. Because he's like, wait a minute, how can everybody else have more to cut? And they're like, well, you don't cut it all the first time.
No, that's hilarious.
He's like, oh, I didn't know. So anyway...
Welcome to alternate reality.
Exactly. And that was his point. You know, he goes, I don't know. But, you know, the fair locations provide, that's staging for fires and emergencies.
Oh, yeah, because
you'll see
CDF parked out at our own fairgrounds.
Sure.
You know, they set up tents. They
if you have some kind of an evacuation, I mean, it's a public safety location.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a fair once a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, because people think, wow, you know, the fairground's just sitting there.
Well, there's a lot of events that take place on a regular basis.
That really couldn't be done elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't really have, you know, other locations, especially in a lot of our more, mm-hmm. you know, even more rural communities.
Yeah, they don't have a convention center.
No,
a lot of
they
them.
Don't have any of that stuff. So the fairgrounds is kind of a, you know, a community spot. So he went through real, you know, kind of real sketch of their budget. And he said, you know, honestly, if we go through what it costs to have our fair unmanned, well, you still have to keep, you know, the pipes from freezing, and you still have to mow the grass, and you know, there are mm-hmm. things you still have to do. So then
fixed
you have to
expenses.
Hire. Yeah, because he said, okay, I can do this for $160,000. But if I don't have any staff, if there's no staff, if we all go volunteer, but we have to pay a maintenance person, that's like $40,000-$50,000 by the time it's
mm-hmm.
all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to figure out what to do with your vehicles, but then there's nobody there to take care of them. So he did the math, and it was like, they need $250,000 to not have staff there.
Jeez.
But if they have staff there, they can do it for less because they can do all the little stuff along the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, but our fares are getting squeezed. And he said, we weren't sure until right before we opened if we were going to be able to do that this year. So, you know, when people are looking at, you know, state budget and thinking, mm-hmm, oh, you mm-hmm. know, stuff we should get rid of, well, fares, you know,
that's
silly.
And, you know, the thing that's kind of interesting is we see some of our larger cities in the state of California filing for bankruptcy. And apparently, for instance, Stockton, the largest city in the United States to file for bankruptcy, one of the things that they built into their bankruptcy protection was that they wouldn't pay the bondholders, but they would continue to fund the retiree benefits.
Oh, isn't
so
that
they're not
great.
They're not cutting anything.
The General Motors approach.
Yeah, they're not cutting anything. And so, meanwhile, all the citizens that are still paying taxes get all their services cut. Trust me, you're paying taxes to pay for somebody's retirement.
Sure. And speaking of which, made a great contact last night in what town was I in? I was in Susanville,
mm-hmm.
and at this nursery. It was called Every Bloomin' Thing.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, I mean, it's really super nice
on
395. Anyway, they're having this huge event. So I met this guy named Andrew who works at Susanville Prison. I have another BFF at prison.
Oh, you and the prison guys.
I am always making friends from prison. So he's been a guard there for 23 years, but he does a radio program out of Susanville.
No way.
And it's, what do they call it? The 503 Report.
Oh.
Friday afternoons.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And so they do all this stuff on you know, how the unions work. You know,
mm-hmm.
Stuff the public should know, stuff that, like he said, I said, so what's the thing about the prison, you know, that people should know, or prison in general? He said, if people knew the standard of care that prisoners are supposed to receive is like Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
That's like
mm-hmm.
the you know, that's the, how great of care they're supposed to get.
That's not bad.
Which isn't bad, right? He said, but right now, they're getting a Cadillac, like Blue Shield, Blue Cross,
oh,
HMO, or, PPO plan.
Crime pays.
Yeah, he said, right now, you know, we've got this stuff ratcheted up. He goes, if people knew the actual medical costs we incurred, because they'd freak out. So anyway, we're going to have him on 1 week.
Excellent.
Tell us all about prison.
Excellent.
So we're punishing the prisoners by letting them back out early. Into the real world.
Well, yeah, I mean, you always hear these stories. There was one just
They probably want to go back.
Well, there was one lately where the guy needed a hip replacement, but he didn't have any insurance, so he committed some crime, went to prison. I guess he was already a criminal, so he figured, well, I've been a criminal once, I'll be a criminal again, and goes back to prison gets the hip replacement. He's like, well, I'm ready to get out now.
Unbelievable.
Trippy, huh? So anyway, we'll be hearing from Andrew in prison here shortly.
Excellent.
On a different day. All righty. We're going to take a really quick break, and if all goes according to plan, we'll be coming back with Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, and then we'll talk about, you know, California state stuff. He knows a lot about prison. We can ask him anything we want. So anyway, be right back with you guys. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Another great. Hey, who was that, Bob?
That's Soul Asylum.
Nice high-speed rail song.
Awesome. Hey, welcome back to We the People Radio. Aaron, Elizabeth, and Bob. And now Jim.
And now we've added
Assemblyman Jim. How are you?
Oh, great on this lovely and very hot day.
Are you calling to give us good news?
He's calling to give us the weather forecast.
Of course. It is a yet beautiful day, although hot. And it is a wonderful life. We have delightful, wonderful, loving families that we work hard for and enjoy our time with. And this is a Sunday.
There you go.
The Sabbath, and I think that's the good news.
Well, thanks for joining us. Well, hey, so there's a whole bunch of stuff stirring and brewing at the Capitol. We've got... What, Aaron?
You were going to tell us about AB. We had like a little list.
Oh, did you? You want me to shut up?
No. I just forgot to tell you. I haven't seen Elizabeth in a few days. So we told Assemblyman Nielsen to just go for it.
Okay.
Those were the directions.
Okay.
It was like, tell us whatever you want.
All right.
Well, I'm going to strive to put as much positive to the situations, plural, as I possibly can, although so very much is negative. It is a terrible budget. There's really not much of any budget or legislative process anymore. And it was really ironic this week. The Appropriations Committee is considering 300 spending bills. Now, why would there be any at all? Maybe a handful. But 300? Absurd. Here's probably what I would argue the good news. The voters can bring forth this good news by rejecting the tax increases. Only by a resounding rejection of the tax increases do I think sufficient members and the governor will get that it really is time to fix the budget and the problems with it and the process, and fix the agencies of government, and then we can finally change California. Notwithstanding these last several years of very, very tough budgets, that reckoning has not sunk in yet. and now is the time. And it is in the hands of the citizens. And the good news is the citizens can do it. They still have the vote. Out here, at least, in the legislature, through their own legislators, they don't much have the vote because those legislators don't even much have a vote. We can talk about that, too. But the voters do control still yet in this country, and they can do it again in November in the presidential election, too. It is time, it is critical time in this state and in this nation for the citizens to take their country and their state back.
And, like, in these spending bills, I guess I have sort of a random question, but in these spending bills, is there any thought to the fact that the state doesn't have any money? I mean, do you get any impression that they're aware of that at all?
Only grudgingly. For 4 years since I have been vice chairman of the budget committee, I would start the budget committees and the appropriations committee saying, don't come. There is no money. There is no money. But when you introduce 300 bills, it certainly shows that it isn't sinking in. There's a small glimmer of hope. Our budget committee did have a hearing on Thursday related to the special funds. There was such a big deal of the $57 million found just laying around in the Parks Department while we're talking about closing parks. Oops, where did that come from? Well, listeners, that's not uncommon. Agencies have done that for decades. And interestingly enough, I'll go back in my own experience. 2 years ago, one of my key fiscal guys found that the Department of Corrections and the Department of Mental Health had shifted $100 million Okay, that's some change. Now, it had been put in the budgets of the Department of Mental Health and the Department of Corrections for other purposes, operational purposes. But they decided to establish their own priorities for that money. And what did they want to use that $100 million for? Paying for accrued annual leave, one of the issues in the park mess. You know, you're supposed to be able in state government to accrue 100 hours of your annual leave. And that is to ensure that you don't have these vast accumulations in the 8, 9, 10 thousand or more hours to cash out when you retire. Well, most agencies don't discipline their employees to do it, and you really, as a manager of the agencies, don't have any really a way to force them to anyway. But why don't we fix that? And why don't we fix the overtime instead of funding it? And that's my fundamental premise in dealing with the budget. Don't fund what's broken. Fix what's broken. Don't strive for expedience in the budget process. Strive for excellence, a good product. $100 million. Well, I let it be known that the Republicans were not going to routinely vote for deficiency bills because the way this was always done in the past, if you overspend your budget, then we will come back, we the agency, will come back with a deficiency of bill to fund and say, oh, gee, we have to pay our bills. We expended this money. We have to pay our bills. We have to pay. Well, routinely, the legislature would approve those spending bills, and they do require two-thirds votes. So early last year, I let it be known that the Republicans were not going to do that anymore. And we really raised a fuss about the deficiency bills this year. Well, those two agencies, Mental Health and Department of Corrections, fearing that we wouldn't routinely approve their deficiency bill, took the request rather to something called the Board of Claims, Victims Compensation and Claims Board, an innocuous entity who approved it. Went around the legislature, went around the governor, $100 million. Well, then it gets even more interesting. So I decide, okay, I will put language in the budget last year that at least would shine a light on it, meaning they could not do that without at least informing the governing legislature, so then some action could be taken to stop it. The Department of Finance, who you would think would be fiscally responsible, got that taken out of the budget. It was voted in by the Budget Conference Committee, Democrats and Republicans, and without a vote of anybody, it was simply taken out. Why? Because they can do it. Another kind of a corruption of the process. Those are the frustrating things that are going on around here now.
Well, Jim?
Good news. Yes.
We have a question in here that somebody wanted to know, will the people be prosecuted for losing the money, or will they retire with full benefits?
No, they will retire. There's really not a way to, as I said, discipline people in government. It's very hard. You even, as a manager, and I was the head of the Board of Prison Term for a long time, and I had a darn good staff, and I didn't have too much of disciplining to do, but it's really, really hard for a manager to govern. If they're stealing the money or something, well, certainly. But for the most part, there's not a legal grounds and not a whole lot you can do.
We don't have a provision to stop the hiding.
No, well, let's just say that there's going to be some more light shed on it. Here's the situation, getting back to say the good news. Last Thursday, Democrats and Republicans both were really hard on Department of Finance and, lesser degree, the Comptroller's Office. And the ledge analyst shed a light on it. As a matter of fact, I felt wonderful because the legislative analyst, the nonpartisan analyst, embraced one of my suggestions, and here's what I have suggested about these special funds. The legislature should discipline itself by imposing a lower limitation on bills that you can introduce every year. I only put in about 10. I didn't come down to Sacramento, and you did not send me there to introduce bills. We have plenty of legislation. We don't need more. We should be spending, this is the solution thing, spending most of the legislative time should be spent on scrutiny of the budget and the agencies of government, looking at them all the way through. Zero-based budgeting, meaning every year the agencies have to justify everything they're requesting to spend money on. So spend more of our time doing that. Now, they didn't embrace limiting the bills, but they did embrace one of the suggestions that I made, and that was that we should shed a light on it and spend our time reviewing it. And I suggested possibly creating a new sunset process. There's a sunset review committee or process in state government where some appointee of agencies have to justify themselves every 3 years. Well, that's actually been corrupted too, which is a whole other story, that process. But I'm saying let's have like a joint audit committee. Let's have a joint special funds review committee that would go on for about 3 years and look, starting at the statutory authority, what created the special fund, statute or initiative, and why was it created, what has its purpose been, and how has it delivered in according with that purpose over the years, and what we'll find is most of them have not been spending the money, they have been hoarding it, like taking our off-road vehicle funds that are or our VP people so graciously give them, and they don't use it. They don't use it to buy create new access and new places for us to recreate with our off-road vehicles. To the contrary, they're shutting them down, but yet hoarding the money. So then let's spend our time doing that. Then let's eliminate some of them, because I think we'll find their purpose is outworn its welcome, cannot be justified anymore. And particularly, we will find out that we are overtaxing our citizens, overtaxing them in all these special funds. So we should reduce that. And to my delight, the ledge analyst agreed with that. So I saw a strong resolve of some of my Democratic colleagues to look into this. But I do not expect it's going to be a sustained resolve unless many of us, including you citizens out there, voice your opinions to those legislators around the state. And what I tell the good folks in the North State, you don't have to worry about Jim Nielsen and Doug LaMoffa. We're at the vanguard of this. We're fighting the good fight. Encourage us and be the wind beneath our wings, but don't spend your time calling us. you get a hold of friends and acquaintances all over the state of California, members of organizations like off-road vehicle organizations and such, all over the country, all over the state, and tell them to call their local legislators. Oh, and oops, I did kind of, and was intemperate enough to Thursday say that I thought we should refund some of those taxes to the off-road vehicle folks since it was not being used.
I think that's fair.
I'm sure that went over big. Hey, well, before we, let's leave it on a refund note. That's a good idea. Let's give the money back. But we've got to take a really quick commercial break because there are people out there who didn't build their own businesses that we need to promote. So,
how's
that? Yeah, how's that? So we'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Travels through the wasteland. There's no guarantee. Smiles in the making. You gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many voices.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Another barn burner.
Bob, where do you come up with this stuff?
I wish you guys could see us rocking out in our seats.
Save me, San Francisco. Don't hold your breath.
Hey, you know, we should
Yeah, really? When was that written?
Hey, Aaron, we should join a charismatic church. I mean, look how we dance in our seats.
Yeah, but we
it's
only
hilarious.
Do that when no one can see us.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's kind of like singing
on
in the shower.
Sunday morning, no less.
Hey, we're back. Yeah, jump on the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us. And if it seems to be a little off kilter, well, you have to scroll manually now.
Like when you type
your
comment.
See your comments, you have to scroll yourself. We're not doing it for you anymore. It's self-accountability now in the chat room.
If you can't figure out the scroll, you can't be in the chat.
And we're talking with California.
Do you remember how to scroll manually?
Hmm? Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're going to find out.
Nice.
Hey, so we're chatting with Assemblyman Jim Nielsen from the state of California. Hmm. We're talking about the state of things. I just think that's
state
hilarious.
Of things, yes. Well, I must speak to the state of Aaron. Signing off for the break, you were talking about those business people who were building their businesses.
No, they're
Aaron,
not.
You're obviously not understanding the president. You
I'm
know,
a hater.
They did not build their businesses. It was other people. It was government.
If you have a street or a road in front of your business, well, then there you go. You did not do it.
You did not build your business because you cheated and you used the government.
It's the guy that sprayed the yellow line down the middle of the road that built your business.
Even if it was over a raccoon.
That was
hilarious. We have Mike on the line. He's had a question for you for a while. And we've kept him hostage online too.
Yes, Mike.
Mike from Horse Creek, are you in there?
I am here.
Fire away.
You'll have to forgive me because there's going to be collateral damage with this, and,
uh-oh.
And I understand that our representatives in the North State are on our side, but my argument is that the law says that y'all must pass a balanced budget or you don't get paid. And at least for the last 2 years, you haven't passed a balanced budget. This new budget for this year is only balanced if we approve a tax increase, and if we disapprove of a tax increase, do we get your payback retroactive to, what, April?
Wouldn't that be great? yes, indeed. And, in fact, that did happen last year for a couple of weeks or, I think, something like that, that legislators didn't get paid. But people quickly figured out how to get around that. And, frankly, it's the same thing that's gone on for decades before it was required. In fact, it's always been required that there be a balanced budget. But there wasn't the discipline that you lose your pay. But what happens in the governor and the legislature this year, and again, I'm sitting in whatever budget hearings we have, and I can see that it's not going to work and that it's predicated on $45 billion tax increase. that it is not going to be a balanced budget. The year before was not balanced, finally. The gimmicks were still in it. And it's so what's the problem? It's in the eyes of the beholder, those who make the determination whether it's balanced or not. The controller last year did at least have some courage, and he said, no, you're not going to get your pay. Then there was a lawsuit, and the lawsuit found that the controller cannot make that determination. So basically, it's the legislature and the governor that they decide that the budget's balanced, then it's balanced. In addition, then, this year we've had the majority vote budget, and that was supposed to make it easier, and the Democrats then would be fully responsible for it. Well, folks, it has been no more a responsible budget than any other. In fact, I have argued that this has more nonsense in it than even previous budgets. So, again, the point here is taking it back to the citizens. What can you do about it? And ladies and gentlemen, what you can do about it is resoundingly vote no and get other people to vote no on those tax increases. Then the legislature, enough of them, and the governor will get, as it did happen after Prop 13 passed, if you might remember, they will get it and decide, well, we need to fix this budget and not keep patching and making obscene determinations of what our income will be.
Well, I would argue then, and it brings me into the next one, which would be SB 249, Senator Yee's bill, that everybody there has taken an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and then when they do not defend or uphold the Constitution and skirt around it so that, okay, we'll call it a balanced budget even if it isn't, you know. It still looks like a horse in striped pajamas is kind of the story. Then they pass laws or trying to pass laws to limit constitutional authority to our right to defend our life property. Most of these guys are not upholding their oath of office, and there again we get down to the point that they determine who's in charge of the hen house, and they're the ones eating the hens.
Well, Mike, in writing their legislative bills, they make their own determination of the constitutionality. I've seen it also for decades, flying in the face. But I fear to tell you that it's even more arrogantly done now. And every year there is an assault, and I mean assault on our Second Amendment rights, every single year. It seems to me, and I say it in debate quite often, it seems like the family, the Second Amendment, and charter schools are the biggest enemies of the people of California, because so many bills are introduced every year to undermine all of those.
Well, I have to agree with you. I don't. It may be the time to create the state of Jefferson, because I look at this and I say, if they're going to take away my guns, which enable me to protect myself from the bad guys that are in my woods, then without taking away their guns, they're working contrary to the Constitution. And I guess just need to convince more people down south to throw the bums out.
Well, not just down south, Mike. Even some in our Sacramento and San Joaquin valleys are problematic, let me assure you. So we do have a heck of a fight, and we'll be, in this next 3 weeks, I'll be fighting against some of the boys' bills to take our guns away yet again. That just is a steady thing. And now we need them more than ever before. You folks probably heard me talk and write about and make speeches about and speak to your groups about AB 109, this most infamous legislation, I think, in the history of California, whereby now up to 34,000 inmates and parolees, unrehabilitated, are in our communities and largely unsupervised and largely facing at least diminished to no consequences for continuing to victimize us. Crime is going up all over the state. And this is a purposeful act of the governor and the legislators to do this to us. The number one responsibility of government, I think, is to protect.
Assemblyman Nielsen, just, you know, one question. Where do they think the money's going to come from when there's nothing left to take? And when all of the people that pay the majority of the taxes flee the state of California, at some point, the well's going to run dry. What do they think is going to happen then?
Well, that's a fundamental tenet of the philosophy of some people who get to serve in the legislature. They think the whole answer is the limitless pocketbook of the so-called rich, which, folks, really includes the middle class who get hit. The governor's tax increase, not just on the rich.
Sorry.
It's going to be a sales tax on everybody. A sales tax on everybody. So, but it doesn't register with me either. It seems like there's almost a generational inability to say no, a generational inability to be prudent, and whenever you see a problem, you go to government to solve it, and then you go to the tax-paying citizens of California and America to fund it.
Yeah,
change things.
Regardless of what is already going on out in the world and what people are already laboring under, we have got to take a really quick break or we'll be up against the top of the hour. I'm stressing Bob out because he's on the phone. Sorry, Bob.
Bill Chappelle's on the line with a question when we come back.
Okay, and thanks, Mike, for calling in and for saying thank you to yourself and then, you know, going back about your day. So we will be right back with you here at We the People Radio, here in crazy town today. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Well, I can hear the whistle from a mile away. It sounds so good, but I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere.
Just a couple of minutes before we go to the top of the hour. We've got a caller on the line, Bill Chappelle. Good morning, Bill.
Yes.
Hey, you're running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 4.
You need to turn your
thanks for calling in.
Audio down.
Well, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great. Did you have a comment?
I had a couple comments for Senator Jim Nielsen. You know, one of the things that he was talking about is for the people to get involved, and I totally agree with that. I mean, that's part of my campaign is trying to make sure that, together we can make a difference. One single person can't make that difference. The problem is that people don't trust politicians anymore, okay? And a lot of times when you're voting on a bill or something and you think you're going the right direction, you're actually going contrary to what you really wanted to do, and you vote the wrong way because stuff is so deceptive anymore the way it's presented. And if you don't study it really well, you don't get the true picture. And the problem is, that's the way they produce it. And people don't really have a lot of time. I would think that, you know, if we could, he was talking about people calling in and stuff, but they kind of need a lead, or they need information put out there, because so they can actually have this lead on issues that actually discuss both sides that actually does not present it in a very confusing manner. You know, at this point in time, we've got a out-of-control government, out-of-control regulations, and out-of-control spending, and the people just don't trust the government anymore, and it's horrible. But the people now have to get involved, and I agree with Jim Nielsen that people do have to get involved. The problem is that their time frame is short, and they don't understand the issue. So somehow or the other, we got to get that education out so people can understand it simply, put in simple form so it's not so confusing, and get the right job done, because we need to get our California back, because it's actually, he was just talking about all the regulations that are passed.
Hey, Bill.
How are they even going to implement them?
Hey, Bill, we better let, I hate to cut you off, but when you said our time is short, I was like, hey, he's reading my mind. Okay. We literally have 2 minutes left, and that includes the part where Bob's going to be waving at me.
Okay.
So, Bill Chappelle, running for District 4 Supervisor here in Shasta County. Thank you for the comment. Let Assemblyman Nielsen close up in the last minute.
And get involved locally. Go to your Board of Supervisor and your City Council meetings.
Check.
Well, and stand up and run yourselves.
Exactly.
And here's, there are many places to find out. And this radio show on Sunday mornings is a great one. And the Carl Bott Show is a great place. It's all kinds of sites are discussed, and the citizens get to speak up. At least there your voice can be heard by others. And get involved. I got involved as a young farmer in government because I realized that government was the reason that I was having a problem farming and making money in my business. And I decided to get involved. Now, I don't suggest everybody has to run for office, but at the least, you need to vote, not be complacent, and speak your mind. Then you will have a hand in your future. I call it being architects of your destiny. And I've always wanted to have a hand in my future and the future of my children and grandchildren, and that's why I stand up.
We thank you. And, you know, really, there are a lot of people running this year that didn't plan on it, some people for local office and things, and it's a really great experience.
Yeah.
It's a great experience. And you get out there and you start to see what the general public is being exposed to, what they think, what they need to know.
I really applaud those that do step up and run for public office, because that is not an easy thing to do. Thank you very much,
Jim,
to Bill.
We're going
to
have you back when we do our prison show so we can talk all about prison. That be okay with you?
I would love to, and I'll tell you some more about the fire tax on that occasion. The bills are coming out, folks.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate it. Have a great Sunday. All right, folks, we'll be back with you in the next hour with James O'Keefe of Acorn fame. Stick with us.
Here at KCNR, Shasta Redding, the news is next, followed by another hour of We the People.
Nice job.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It's hour two. We are rocking and rolling at We the People Radio. We are all things fiscal conservancy. Nah, that's the wrong word.
Say what?
We don't like the word conservancy. Fiscal conservatives, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. You are joining us at hour two with your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin, our sound engineer who runs the show and keeps us in line and uses his little hand signals to bring us home when we need to.
Yeah, it's like he's landing planes. But okay, now in that introduction, what was the most important word you uttered?
Conservancy.
No,
that was bad.
No, Ryan, come on,
rocking and rolling.
No, Ryan,
Aaron.
No, Ryan.
I know. I'm playing with you.
Come on, focus.
I'm playing with you.
I tell you what, I got up yesterday morning. Actually, I was going to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning on whatever that day that was. That was the end of Friday, beginning of Saturday, and I saw that on my phone. It's like, you know, Paul Ryan, VP pick for the Republican Party, and I'm like, oh my dad. I'm probably not going to hear from him for a week. They won't be able to get him off the ceiling. You're like, oh, yeah. So anyway,
making him happy, is it?
I don't know. I'm sure it. I'm sure it just, yeah. I mean, it's very clannish, you know?
Yeah, sure,
where
sure.
He's given those directions, you know, you're Orion, go out and represent the family name right. And I'm like, oh, no, now it's going to be on bumper stickers.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay.
Pretty funny.
So in that vein, we want to hear from you. 530.
Maybe we can get my mom to vote for Republicans.
Maybe.
Oh, this might be it.
That might
the
be
catalyst
what it, that needed. Might be, that might be what it took. So we're... give us a call at 530-605-4567. She's the comedy side. I'm the straight shooter here. You know, good cop, bad cop, funny girl, straight girl.
Is that it?
Yeah, something like that. Hey, we're streaming and chatting live at WeThePeopleRadio.us or KCN1460. We're at the home of Free Fire Media. Join us on the chat room. It's always alive and well. You do have to manually scroll if you want to see your own comment.
Also, or anyone else's for that
or anybody
matter.
Else's. And to find out all about today's guests, go to WeThePeopleRadio.us. Everything is on that webpage. Every single show we've ever done has an individual link that you can click on and share far and wide. No excuse not to pass the information along, because everything that we provide you, you won't hear very many other places.
There you have it. So apparently we're having a little connection problem with Mr. James O'Keefe of Acorn fame. Nice. All together now. Liz was putting cream in her coffee. That's that funny crinkling sound. We're not actually opening presents, although that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But we don't have any.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That would be fun because you and I are both August birthday girls.
Yes. Can't go wrong there. We're going to get old in August.
Yeah.
That's good, too, because we can get that out of the way and we could still be in prime shape for the election in November.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll just be ready to roll.
There you go.
Let's see if... So how'd we do, Bob?
I may have to call Assemblyman Nielsen back. I just talked to James O'Keefe's cell phone, so I'm not sure what that means.
You know what? Maybe he's out videotaping someone. That would be inconvenient, wouldn't it?
Okay, so can I talk about SB 1234?
Say it properly.
May I talk about...
Can I talk?
Can I talk about SB 1234? Yeah. Okay.
Wanted you to be Ross Perot there for a second.
Okay. So here we have all of these bills coming down the pike in the state of California, and it's really easy as a person to say, well, whew, glad I don't have to pay that one, you know, like the fire fee. I mean, if you don't live within a state responsibility area, you're not going to get stuck with that.
It's a fire tax.
Okay, I got a quick, tax. It is a tax. Tax. Tax, tax, tax. So, okay. So if you're not one of those people, you're like, phew. Okay, I want you to visualize the hand going across my forehead. Now, here's one for you. Okay, so... there's one called SB 1234. 1234. SB 1234. Real easy to find. Okay. Basically, in a nutshell, because my point is that they're coming after your money too, no matter who you are. The state is hoping to create a private employee pension fund. In other words, you work in the private sector, you go to work every day, your employer provides a retirement program for you, or doesn't. The state wants to require that every private employer with five or more employees must create a retirement plan for you. Now, in this day and age, private employers are getting hit hard, so they don't really match 401k funds like they used to. They may provide, you know, the retirement capabilities for you, but a lot of them aren't matching like they used to because they can't afford to. Okay, so the state is going to require that they do provide you with a retirement plan. Not that they're going to match it, but that it's available for you to save your own money. Okay? Now, here's what the state's going to do. They're going to offer an alternative to your employer's plan where you get a defined return on your money. In other words, it's a defined benefit plan, very much like the government employees are getting, a guaranteed return. And they're going to run it, okay? They're going to take your money, and they're going to manage it for you, and they're going to tell you what percentage you have to put in. Now, you have the choice of opting out as an employee and saying, I don't trust the state to run my money, to manage my funds. I choose not to do that. What they're not going to do is make it easy for you to opt out. There's a whole set of criteria if you want to. They give you a 2-year window. If you miss it, they automatically enroll you in the state run retirement plan. So in a nutshell, you're funding the state retirement plan, and they're going to take your money.
That is slick.
SB 1234. And then the employers, five employees or more, if they don't comply with this, they get fined and fined. They will have penalties, fines. They're going to go after them if they don't do it. Man. Five employees or more.
Who's a, who, just? I know this is kind of a on the spot thing, but who's sponsoring this legislation?
Senators De Leon and Steinberg.
Well, that's a shocker.
Yeah, yeah. So now they're coming after the private sector. I mean, seriously, you are a person that works in the private sector. You work for a doctor. You work in a grocery store. Wherever you work, do you want the state of California to manage your retirement funds and choose where they invest them? You don't get that choice either.
Mm-mm.
And do you believe that money's going to be there
now
when you retire?
Now you have to say that like Get Smart. See, I'm all about the accents today because that's what you believe.
So just want you to know that that's something to keep your eye on.
Keep your hand on your wallet.
Yeah, see, the thing is, just because the thing that's coming after your neighbor doesn't affect you doesn't mean they've got something in mind for you, too.
Yeah.
They need money desperately, and they're going to go after everyone to get it, one way or the other.
Well, the fun part is, well, I mean, while we're chatting about this stuff, we're waiting for Mr. O'Keefe to call in. You know, sometimes we shouldn't tell people who's going to be on the show.
I know.
We should just leave it as we should leave it as a surprise.
Do you have another number for him?
Negatory, good buddy.
Okay.
That was my trucker talk.
Very good, negatory.
Negatory, good buddy. Breaker. Okay, Monday night, we had... Can you hear Bill laughing out there? Uh-oh, the phone's ringing. This could be good. Dun, da, 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 da. Stall for time. Elizabeth, you're killing me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading.
She's reading.
I'm reading more about SB 1234. I mean, I've got the whole bill on my computer, and I highlighted favorite parts.
Don't read the bill. It'll take away your ability to speak.
But they're calling it the Golden State Retirement Savings Trust Act. Trust.
Wow. Is this the same kind of golden that the Bloggo was talking about? Is this that kind of golden?
There you go.
That seat is golden. Yeah.
That seat is golden, yes. Bob?
Yes, it's not good. It's Mike Adams again.
It's not good.
His words, not mine.
He's like, this is not a good call. Well, thank you for calling in, Mike. Can you pretend you're James O'Keefe? Do you know what acorn means?
Yeah, I know what pecan means.
I know, you know what's funny? That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, Patriots educating concerned Americans now. Oh, no, wait, that was our nut. What was their nut again?
I'm a fire tech.
God, you're killing me.
This is an interesting conundrum, okay?
Conundrum with us.
I live, obviously, out in the woods. But it's not the CDF that comes to put out my fires. It's the Forest Service.
Really?
And since they're charging me $150 for inhabited buildings, and the Forest Service has a policy of not fighting structure fires but wildland fires, what am I paying for?
Sorry, that snarky laugh was a bunch of stuff that I would get beeped for on the radio.
Now, the next little piece of information you might find interesting, my friend Bill, who lives over in Scott Bar, at 2:30 in the morning was chasing the cows out of his yard, the neighbor's cows. And he looks up, and there's a light up on the hill, a fire from the lightning. So at 2:30 in the morning, Bill calls in, quote, the Bill Fire. Okay? 7:30 in the morning, here comes a helicopter, flying around it, okay, no water bucket, just looks at it, flies away. At about 11 o'clock, here comes CDF. They roll up, they look, they say, whoops, it's on the wrong side of the river. Okay, and we're not talking about that they can't get over there, because they're on that side. But it's on the wrong side. In other words, it's Forest Service jurisdiction, so they get called back to office. Not until such time as the heat of the day has warmed up, and about 2:30, 3 o'clock, do they finally get a helicopter, start dropping water on this thing. Finally, the Forest Service figures out how to get there, because their maps are wrong. They didn't know there was a road that went almost to the fire. And then they spent the whole night with guys up on the hill trying to put the thing out.
Oh.
Best part is CDF looked, said, yep, it's a fire, but it's on the wrong side of the river, and went home. So now what are we paying these guys for?
Wow. And yesterday I was up on Highway 395, and we went by, and there was a, you know, some, I don't know, I guess some sage brushy stuff was burning up, but it was flat for like 9,000 miles. I mean, you could see forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here's this line of guys. I mean, it was really pretty funny. There's like 15 of them with little yellow outfits and 15 of them with red outfits, and the person I was driving with is going, hup, 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 you know? Like, and it was just as they were running along, and at the end, you know, right on cue, there was a guy, you know, talking on his radio, touching his mustache, you know, bring us more stuff. And drive another 5 miles, here comes another dozer, you know, here comes a water truck. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, it was a bush. It was a burning bush.
Oh, well,
and they tried, and they put it out. No wonder we're not getting any messages
from the big guy.
Can I
tell my Orchard Hardware story?
About
CDF, remember?
Oh, I was like, we already hated on Orchard Hardware.
I know, but here's another one. Okay, if we're talking about overstaffing, so I was in my
Elizabeth.
My,
could you tell us about overstaffing?
My very last visit to Orchard Hardware a couple of weeks ago, I'm in there for about a half an hour, and I noticed two CDF guys, and they're in full blue uniform, and these two guys are walking up and down the aisles, and they're pushing a cart between the two of them. Which is really weird. But anyway, so they're leaving. They're checking out, and I'm checking out, and I walk out in the parking lot, and they walk out in the parking lot. And it took two of them 30 minutes to get a roll of sprinkler hose and six sprinkler heads. It took two full-time CDF personnel in full uniform to buy sprinkler hose and sprinkler heads and push a cart for 30 minutes through Orchard Hardware. Hmm. Really?
This isn't going to go anywhere good, is it?
Really?
Well, you know, it's a difficult subject as to whether you want to buy Orbit sprinklers or Rainbirds.
But it took two brains to do that?
It was pretty funny, though, because...
God!
Because, well, you know, and the thing is, here's... And I guess, you know, I was kind of like back up, look at it from another angle. But how would you honestly like to be the fire guys?
The butt of everybody's jokes?
But I mean, you're the fire guys, right?
Yeah.
And here the legislature is broke. So the legislature goes, hey, we could squeeze a minimum of $150 out of each rural, you know, homeowner. And all our guys live in the city. Mm-hmm. And they don't mm-hmm. care.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to know. They're not going to care. So we're going to be able to get away with this and raise some money. So they swipe a bunch of money from, you know, from the Cal Fire budget and then expect to backfill it with this tax.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the guys have to run around in the outfits. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the visible sign of this.
Yeah.
And yet, at the end of the day, the masterminds behind the operation are...
So when people see the rank and file out actually, you know, and a lot of them, they're not behind any of this. I mean, they're just doing their job. They really are.
Exactly. Well, they don't have the option to... They don't have any more options than the rest of us
do. See, this is why I would never want to work somewhere where I have to wear a uniform and I look like everybody else. That can't be fun.
Did you ever go to private school?
No.
I did. My brother got hit in the face with a lunchbox. Because we were marked.
Oh, another fact. Hey, you want to hear something else? Do you know that there are four states in the entire United States where stalking laws do not apply to union people? In other words...
It's like open season?
On us, maybe. But
whoa.
The state.
Oh, you mean we can't stalk them, but they can stalk us?
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were allowed to stalk them.
No. In the state of California, if you get stalked by a union member, you can't do anything about it.
Get out!
Yeah. In the state of California.
All right.
Four states in the United States.
Wow.
The stalking laws exempt union workers, union people. They do.
All of them? Mm-hmm. Like if you belong to a union, mm-hmm. you can just go stalk people?
Apparently.
Oh, my God. Thank God we have AB 109, and now you won't go to jail.
I probably shouldn't have put that out there, because they probably didn't know either.
If you're stalked by a union employee in the future, I want you to blame Elizabeth.
See what happens when
Elizabeth
our callers
Woodward.
Don't call in?
What's the...
And Mike's like, what about me? I'm chopped liver?
What is the logic behind that law?
What do you mean logic, Bob?
Bob, you have...
really? Bob?
You have done something...
Have you not been listening to our show for the last year?
Good
Bob?
Lord. come on,
there is
man.
No logic.
Oxymoron, oxymoron.
Logic is not part of Sacramento.
Exactly. Hey, so Mike, you want to hang on with us through the break? We've got to thank some advertisers of actual businesses who built it themselves. How do you feel about that?
They built it themselves?
Or would you like to go back to the woods?
Not if there's a road in front of it.
Well, they paid for the road.
So,
that's right.
That's exactly the problem. Folks, I would jump on the chat room. It's kind of fun, and it'll take you a while to figure out how to use it. So wethepeopleradio.us, click on listen, and the chat window will come up. Sign in and start scrolling. We'll be right back at the end. 2 minutes here at the home of Free Fire Media.
So I'm going to go stalk James O'Keefe.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair. Because I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touch. But maybe showers remind me of a cycle too much.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
We're back.
Listening to the song. We were ready to be back yet.
Welcome back to We the People Radio, the land of no promises.
No, the land of lots of promises. We're just going to make them. We're just going to make, like, random promises.
Okay, so next week
They're not broken promises. They're campaign promises.
They're potential promises, Bob. Come on, they're budget promises. That's it. We're going to make budget commitments.
There you go.
Next week's budget commitment is Rush Limbaugh will be on the program during the second hour.
We'll have his people call our people and see what happens.
He'll be calling in.
So stay tuned to see if it happens.
So will our competition.
Right now he's talking to James O'Keefe. It's a secret meeting. We can't be part of it.
Budgetary promises. We promise to take all your money. Now, we can guarantee you that much. Hey, so I want to chat about the Election Integrity Project for a minute or two.
Oh, what?
I know. You know, a couple of 2-3 weeks ago, we had Ruth Weiss from the Election Integrity Project, and she's going to be coming up to Shasta County to do a presentation. And she actually travels all over the state of California to teach people how to detect voter and election fraud and what to do about it. And apparently there's quite a bit out there. She's got some horrific stories. Really, really interesting. So anyway, if you are in any one of the Northern California counties and want to join us for that presentation, because what follows the presentation would be 2 different training sessions, one's 4 hours, one's 3 hours at different times. But by the time she's done, you know the letter of the law. I mean, your detection.
Which letter is it?
Either one, A through Z. A through Z.
Bob's got his head in his hands. That's not good. I sent Bob right to you. Head shake. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
So yes, either one.
So give me a holler. My phone number is 605-7501. And if you're interested in coming to that presentation and getting really involved in detecting voter fraud in your county at a local level, let me know.
And if you're interested in stalking Elizabeth, that's her phone number. Start there.
Yeah,
go to Facebook.
I have nothing to hide.
That is trippy. Okay, so
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. Is that because union people, if they're trying to recruit people to join the union, they don't want to be
charged with
stalking? Is that why they're exempt from the stalking?
Who made that rule?
Well, I read like the first couple of paragraphs.
One of these, and then you just.
And then
her eyes went in the back of her head.
I skimmed it and thought, oh, that's disgusting, and moved on.
This isn't an email you got from somebody and you just believed
no,
it.
No, it was not an email.
Was it the motorcycle? No.
It was what I consider to be a reliable news source.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, have you heard of this?
Are you still there?
place.
And they're exempt from trespassing charges, too.
Ew. Mike has a Stockholm syndrome. He can't leave.
Not.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave, baby.
You can never leave.
Maybe.
We're talking smack about the government. You can't get away. You know what's funny? The last couple of days, that was funny, but in general,
yeah.
Everywhere we went, it was like, hey, how's it going? And since we were, you know, from a representative of the government, people were just like, what's the deal with this? And what's the deal with that? People have had it.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to one person who said, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about the new tax. I can't wait to see all the new things we get.
And I just love how things are going. And I'm really excited about the future.
And you know what?
I got a suggestion for a new tax.
Right on.
Okay. Now, all these fires we're having, in fact, when we get through with the show, I'm going to have to go start my generator because I got so much smoke, my solar panels won't collect enough sun to charge up the batteries.
That can be a problem.
It can be a problem. All the fires that we're having, the severity of the fires, because we haven't been able to log since 1990, okay? So rather than allowing us to harvest the timber, they are burning it up, okay? Now, why don't we charge them stumpage fees on everything they burn up?
Now, tell everybody what stumpage fees are.
Okay. When we used to have when we had timber sales, if anybody can remember back that far, the logging company would come in and they would bid on the timber. And when they cut the tree, you ended up with a stump, and therefore there was a fee attached to that, which then went to the county or the state. And counties could choose where they wanted to spend that money. Most counties tended to spend it on schools. Okay, now Josephine County up in Oregon decided to spend it on law enforcement.
Oh, why?
And the Williamson Act that we talk about was when we shut down logging. The Williamson Act was to bring us the fees in lieu of the stumpage, the stump fees. Okay, it was to supplement us since we suddenly got cut off at the knees. But I think
No pun intended.
We should charge the Forest Service stumpage fees on everything they're burning up since they won't let us harvest it.
I think that's a great idea.
Sure.
We should have like a, you know what? We should convene.
Oh, I know.
Remember
what you're
in high school? You do? Okay, go ahead, do it.
I think you're going to talk about pulling people together and having the general public come up with the taxes.
I was going to do mock Congress. Remember in high school you had to do mock Congress, and back then it was like, this is queer. We just need the.
What did you say?
I know. I used a keyword. Isn't that great? I used it over the weekend too because there was a legislator actually on the floor of the assembly.
Yeah,
and one of the. I don't know what you're supposed to call him. One of the gay legislators in Sacramento.
No.
For lack of a better word.
Happy guy, huh?
Yeah. Very cheerful legislator in Sacramento. There you go. That's what I wanted to say. He used the word queer in part of some legislation. And so this lady's like, excuse me. There was an article in the Sacramento Bee.
That's hilarious.
She goes, excuse me, but isn't that a bad word? I thought it was a bad word. We're not supposed to say it. So we had this whole conversation on the floor of the legislature
about
whether or not the Q word was a good word or a bad word or derogatory or if it was back in again. I thought, you know what? People want to know. People go, why is Sacramento so screwed up? I'm like, well, that'd be one of the choices.
Mm-hmm. That's
it's
hilarious.
Stunning. Super stunning. No, I was thinking we should
working with an updated list of politically incorrect terms.
Well, I think we should probably just hang out at the legislature, actually.
Just listen to this radio station.
Evidently.
Mike. Just listen to this radio station.
Evidently, the legislature's not clear on it either.
No, but it was funny. Because I guess she, you know, kind of like raised her hand.
That is so funny.
Yeah,
it really is.
I wish I could find the article. I'll find it for you guys. But it was hilarious. I'm reading this thing and I'm thinking, this is a spoof. No, I checked. I checked with someone who was actually on the floor at the time and they said, nope, that was real.
Wow.
She actually abstained from voting on the bill. At the end of the day, she was just like, I'm not really sure what the deal is with this. So anyway, you can stun them if you go the right way.
I can see her point. You wouldn't necessarily want your name attached to something with that word if it could come back to haunt you later on.
Yeah, it's like, okay, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Are we talking about the old way or the new way, or what are we doing? So, but these
keep
are
us in the loop.
These are the big decisions that are being made, you know. Okay, so let's see. We should let people know. One thing we learned this week is that California has an elected board of equalization, unlike all the other states who have a Department of Revenue. And we should get George Runner on here.
We
know his phone number. We could force him to
call
us.
Super nice guy. Really knowledgeable.
We don't think he knows James O'Keefe either, so that's good.
Well-spoken. Did a great, great job.
Yeah.
We had him up here in Reading last Monday night, and
we talked about the fire.
He actually kind of had everybody spellbound for a while. He did a great job.
Well, the elected board of equalization that most people don't know we actually have currently has two conservatives, two liberals, and then the tiebreaker vote is the state controller. Well, typically we cast ballots for these, you know, some of these offices, and we think, well, I'm not really sure what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So are they good at math? I guess, you know, that's all I need to know. But he said in 2014, the current controller is expiring their term. So in 2014, we'll have new people up for that seat. That is a pivotal seat.
Yeah,
because if we can put somebody on there who is at least fiscally conservative, I don't care what party they are, but someone who's fiscally conservative, he said they could actually deal with a bunch of the bad taxes on the books aren't actually enshrined in law, that are just statutory type stuff.
And the scary thing about this fire tax is that if you appeal it, you have to appeal it back directly to the regulatory agency that's getting the money.
Mike, what do they call that?
They get to be judge, jury, and they're the whole ball of wax.
They get to be fox and hen house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fox and hen house, yeah.
They get to be fox and hen house. Okay, so we have our hostage mic online with us. We've got all these other people that are trying to figure out how to work the chat room. Just a little heads up for anybody who's still struggling with that. Yeah.
Someone look who it is that just walked in the door. I thought I locked that door. Somebody brought us coffee and donuts.
I know. You got to love them.
Oh, I do.
He's like, these two knuckleheads, they need more coffee. Everybody else is like, no!
That's good old Frank Rose.
I know. I love Frank Rose. He's so
awesome.
Cute. So if you're on the chat room and you can't figure out how to see what's going on with the messages, and say potentially you're logging in over and over, and you're like, why isn't it working? You have to log in and then scroll the little scroll bar down. The scroll on the chat room doesn't scroll by itself. So the screen will just sit there and stare at you until you slide your screen down and make that happen for yourself. It's on manual scroll.
Now, apparently that's on the old version of the chat room. I am told by a caller there's a new version of the chat room.
Where does it live?
Which I have no idea how to get.
Where does it live, oh wise one?
Ask Comrade Ann. She's the one that
she's
informed
the one
me of that.
Little FYI there. She's the one logging in over and over. Hi, Comrade Ann. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a swift break and thank some people who went out there and built their business with the help of the government. Thank goodness for government. My God. We'll be back in...
They're here to help.
Yes, and serve. We'll be back in 2 minutes here at KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
We are amazed but not amused by all the things you say that you do. So much concerned but not involved with decisions that are made by you. But we are sick and tired of hearing this song telling how you.
Got a
got to tell you a little headline in today's newspaper. And just wanted to share a little bit about the best and the brightest in our community. So a 21-year-old man stole a GPS device from a car, and then the police caught him because they followed his GPS. Okay, so that's the best and the brightest. I just thought I'd share...
Okay.
Share that with you.
My computer was on like the last, its last breath here.
In case anyone's not feeling like they're at their best today, couldn't get worse than that. Still a GPS unit so that you can go on a stealing spree and then let the police follow you all the way.
Okay. I think that's awesome. And, okay, so to revert back to what I was...
I know that was irrelevant.
Laughing about, everything we've been talking about is irrelevant. But you know what? That's okay. The second hour was irrelevantness. So on August 9th of 2012, in the Capitol Alert, no less, this comes to my phone like, broo, broo, you know, notes from Sacramento. The title of the article
is...
Let's
do that noise again.
Doo-doo-doo.
Okay.
The title of this article... This
the
is what
irrelevantness
you,
noise.
This is what you can look forward to when you have a Ryan in the White House. Is it okay to say queer in a debate? Yes, says California lawmaker. This is the headline. Headline in the Sacramento Bee. So the article says, odd it was, but queer? Well, no. A California lawmaker became confused when a word used historically to mean strange or as an insult to homosexuals was spoken on the assembly floor by another lawmaker. It's like, are you kidding me? This article literally does go on. How about this? I will send it. And her name was Linda Halderman, which was hilarious. She,
yeah.
I mean, she's a nice lady. She's Republican out of Fresno. And she's just like, I'm sorry. Could you define what you mean when you say queer? That's actually her quote. She asked that, and it prompted the chamber to go silent. So apparently, if you want to stun California, you have to say things that are a little bit off topic. So we will...
Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense.
Maybe we can get her on the show.
Lest you... We can't. You know what? Because then she'd have to call in, and James O'Keefe would intercept her, and you know how that goes.
I'm still trying to intercept James O'Keefe.
Trust me. You know what? I'm not a union employee, but I'm going to stalk him like I'm getting paid for it.
Oh, by the way, we have two mics on the line right now.
We do? Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. We have hostage one and hostage two.
So who's the new mic?
Hey, wait. That's from Joe Dirt. Mic one and mic two.
Mike 2 is from the Bay Area with a couple of questions.
Great. Good morning, Mike. Mike number 2.
Good morning, and sorry I missed O'Keefe. I don't know where he is in the air. I had a couple of questions.
We thought maybe
regarded the topic that nobody in California is talking about, which is the blackmail of Governor Schwarzenegger over his secret love child that went on for years and led to his signing and doing all sorts of nasty things. And then the other one is, if I don't know if you've read it, the recent lawsuits against the Department of Homeland Security regarding discrimination and hatred of men.
What?
Well, that broke on Friday afternoon, a big lawsuit against Janet Napolitano.
Two different lawsuits, two different men alleging essentially the same thing, that it's
anti-male
hate.
Wow.
So, and there's more in the wind. I can't go further, but let's just say that there's more in the wind.
Wow, well, you can't beat that.
But I'm curious, who has talked about the blackmail of Schwarzenegger? That story has fallen completely off the radar ever since it broke.
I don't know. I guess I forgot about it. Apparently it was a somewhat forgettable story, but why do you think?
I'm not sure it ever got much above the radar. This is the first I've heard about it. I know about the love child, obviously, but you're saying he was blackmailed into signing legislation that he would not have otherwise have signed?
Yeah, I'm saying people on his staff, insiders, knew about this as far back as when the child was just a baby, an infant, and they have been putting the squeeze on him ever since. And once he got into office, that's the reason he hired Susan Kennedy as his chief of staff. She was Gray Davis's recalled chief of staff, and she winds up back in Sacramento. And if you read any of the stories about what he did for Carol Migdon, when Migdon was, you know, remember Migdon became the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee and announced, quote, anybody who wants $5 is going to have to come to this dike and beg for it, end quote. And she got put back in government positions by Schwarzenegger. I submit it was all part of a blackmail proposition, and that's why he refused to defend marriage and threw school children under the bus.
Yikes. Well, can you find somebody who can come on and explain that to us?
Well, I mean, the information is essentially out there as far as his change of behavior. When you start looking, when did the child become obviously somebody knew about it before he resigned. It wasn't just this, oh my goodness, now that he's out of office, we suddenly discovered this. So it's going to take some investigative reporting, which is why I was going to put Mr. Keefe on the spot, about who's going to talk to the insiders. And this is covered up by the media the same way they knew that Vaughn Walker was a homosexual. That wasn't a secret kept from everybody. It was a secret kept from the one side of the case. It was almost street-level knowledge in San Francisco, including throughout the media, and only the rubes defending marriage didn't know about it. So there's been such an unequal disparity of information available to the parties on the two different sides of these social issues, and the media has played it up. And I'm looking for alternative media to at least talk about it.
Well, shoot. I guess we just need more information. I guess we won't be going to the media for that, though. So that kind of puts a kink in things.
Well, what he's saying just validates the point that the mainstream media will suppress stories that don't fit its agenda.
Well, I have been opposed to the annual tax-subsidized San Francisco Dyke March for decades. It receives a tax subsidy. It bans male citizens from the public street. They don't pay for any of their cleanup. They get free police and safety services, and the media quit reporting on it completely decades ago. You get a half dozen protest fleabaggers take a dump on Ogallala Plaza, and there'll be half a dozen cameras around them. But 50,000 dykes take over the city, gridlock San Francisco, ban them from the city, and then leave a huge pile of trash, and there is not a word in any newspaper, period.
How do they get taxpayer money for that?
Well, for one, they get grants up front, and two, if you don't have to pay for the police services, and if you don't have to pay for the sanitation services to clean up after you, it is a tax subsidy. Even Beta Breakers, which used to be notorious for its leaving of trash, has had to clean up their act. The Sunday Pride Parade has to apply for a permit and clean up its act. The whole thing about the San Francisco Dyke March is they boast they refuse to apply for any permits. They are above the law. And it used to be that dykes on bikes would literally shut down the mission. I have been chased out of crosswalks by dykes on bikes.
Okay, and Mike, hold on. We got to pause for a second because Elizabeth's going, dykes on bikes? See, she did the same thing I did because I thought that was just like, I thought it was just, you know, an alliterated, you know, funny thing. No, it's really a group. It's a real group.
And my mouth is wide open. And my chin is in my lap.
That's more information than we needed.
There is a precedent-setting trademark trial and appeals case, which is a First Amendment precedent in the law over the granting of the trademark to the term dykes on bikes. And I fought that, saying that dyke is a term that is inherently hateful towards men. And it's probably one of the earlier examples of the use of an altered Wikipedia entry, retroactively altered as evidence. The original Wikipedia entry agreed with me that dykes were hostile towards men. The reply brief came back showing a Wikipedia entry that pretty much plagiarized the reply brief, which I don't know where they got that from. I couldn't tell.
Well,
so, yes, there's a whole lot going on that never, ever gets reported on.
You should see. I am so sorry. You should see what is going on our chat room right now. It'll probably be up for another 10 minutes if you want to go to wethepeopleradio.us and click on it. But, you know, people have other names for other events that could be held. And I don't know how we somehow took this odd corner. But, all right, Mike 1 and Mike 2, you know, remember in Joe Dirt? And he like, puts up his little fist and he's like, yeah, you know, Mike 1 and Mike 2. So you Mikes, hang on. And we're going to thank some folks who did build their businesses really quickly before we out of time here, and people are going, thank God. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes here at We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Got something to live for. One more. This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
So you may or may not like us, you may or may not agree with us, but you must agree, we are entertaining.
But you had to, I mean, you got to admit, it was pretty fun.
Bad news delivered with a punch.
Exactly. Wasn't exactly James O'Keefe, but...
I'm serious, you've got to go to the chat room.
Got to go to the chat room.
Hilarious today, especially in the last 5 minutes.
You guys are killing me.
Thanks to Mike from San Francisco.
Coors with Coors. Like that one.
If you know where James O'Keefe is, have him call us.
Yeah, have his people call our people.
Yeah, let's
you?
Get somebody to go.
No, we don't have people. It's just you and me.
Don't tell him that. It'd be so much easier to stalk us. We have Bill.
I retract that statement.
We still have two mics, however.
Oh. Hey, I'm one of your people.
We have Mike 1 and Mike 2. And we got Frank.
And then we have our mics here.
True story.
So we have far more mics in the control room.
People are like, God, make it end.
You know where the dial is, folks.
All right. Don't touch it. All right. Mike and Horse Creek. What do you have to pipe up with? Because we don't want to just blow you off since we've had you for a hostage for like 45 minutes.
Hey,
talk to us from Stockholm Syndrome.
This is Stockholm Syndrome. That's the truth. I'm stuck out here in the woods with nobody around me.
So how are things out there? You guys are fighting the good fight.
We're trying. Of course, it's a season of meetings with
endless,
Tea Party,
endless
POW,
meeting.
Water users, you know, and, of course, having to keep the Board of Supervisors in line.
You know, on that point, I'm just overwhelmed and amazed at the number of grassroots organizations that are out there. And they're each taking a different issue, but we're all on the same page and on the same side. And I just can't believe how many are out there.
A ton of people. You know,
there's
just
so much.
And the thing that's funny is, you know, a lot of people, I think, this is becoming sort of a lifestyle.
Oh, and you know what?
The good part is we'll never fix it all, so don't be mean to your allies. You're going to
need
them.
When I was talking to Linda Payne this week from the Election Integrity Project, because she travels the state of California constantly training, she said, you know, I got to tell you, from all of the conversations I've had, all the things I've seen and the people I've met, we're not really living in a blue state. She really feels like it's a purple state. And primarily because there's a lot of people that don't quite, they know that they don't like what's going on. They're not quite sure what the truth is and which way to go.
Oh.
It's not as blue as you think.
I thought you were like an artist and you were...
Yeah, the problem is the legislators in Sacramento are colorblind.
I think you're getting us through the palette of color so that we could go back to the other mic and talk about the dyke march in San Francisco with the rainbow flag. I thought that's where we were going. We're not going there.
Well, you know, Elizabeth...
But we could.
The argument about all these different organizations popping up, it basically argues the fact that we're all sick and tired of something the government is trying to impose upon.
There you go.
And it is a quiet and peaceful revolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. Indie guy in the chat room just writes, second hour title should be We the People.
Jeez.
He put that in here a long time ago because we were talking about, you know, watching government. And so instead of We the People, he had We the People. And just, you know, kind of looking at how this whole thing has gone. You know, Indie Guy, I think you're right. I think we should retitle the second half of the show because saying that it was James O'Keefe would be a lie. You know, except for next week we're having Rush Limbaugh. So, you know, that won't be a lie till next week. So tell a friend.
Maybe. So you have to tune in to find out if it's true.
We're going to promote it like we believe it.
That's KQS on the other line.
And lure you in, Bob. Oh, my God. All right.
They are
so
not
Mike,
happy.
Mike in Horse Creek, we're going to sign off with you. We're going back to in San Francisco because we have like a minute left, so we want to make sure we sign off properly with everyone so we can do one thing right before we go.
Okay. You guys take care.
All right. Be nice in Horse Creek. All right. Mike in San Francisco. Fire away. You got like a minute.
Fire away. Okay. I've posted a lot of this information on your 24-hour Patriots. There's even a thread titled, Der Arnold Was Blackmailed. So anybody who wants to learn a little bit more and or add something to the sad saga, please do.
He did. He did.
Uber commandant.
He did appear to take a real sharp turn to the left at that at some point, didn't he?
I thought he got shrivered.
No, when he completely abandoned his base, they were going to do to him what they did to Gray Davis. They were going to expose him as a fraud, and he was going to get recalled like Davis. And the deal he made was to take Kennedy on as his chief of staff and put her in charge of the Republican Party. She got the donors list and everything. Susie Kennedy became the ultimate insider Republican by virtue of blackmail of Arnold. And I hate it that nobody has even bothered to talk about this.
Wow.
Well, we can now say that, at least somebody's bothered to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, time to shut me down and change the subject too, I suppose.
Well, no, we can't.
Actually, the big thing is because Kennedy, not Kennedy, but...
Okay, we're shutting you down,
power
Mike.
In the state. Nobody wants to offend Skelton.
Hey, Mike.
We do, but the news is going to cut us off because that's how it works. Thanks for calling.
Karen, have a great day.
Thanks, see everybody Mike. Next week here at We the People Radio, but we'll tell you all about that.
WeThePeopleRadio.us.
That's right. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Mike and Mike. And not the guys on ESPN.
And Jim Nielsen.
And Jim Nielsen, yes. Don.